Revelation chapter 7. I know we've been in the book of Romans. I thought we would take a look at something different this morning as we celebrate our summer picnic together, and we celebrate a baptism, and even especially as things are going a little crazy in our nation right now, it would be helpful, I think, to remind ourselves to gain perspective on where we're at and what's happening. You know, I kind of share a little bit of the characteristics that we think of when we think of the absent-minded professor. I guess we could say the absent-minded pastor. It happens more so than I'd like that maybe it's a Tuesday evening or maybe it's a Wednesday, and Michelle will ask me, how's the project going? Maybe you've experienced something like this when somebody asks you how's something going that you're supposed to have been working on, and in that split second, like time like stops, like in the movies, right? Like the drip from the faucet just like freezes. But like my heart rate increases as I think, what project? Right? And so you start like flipping through the Rolodex of all the things you have going on in your life. And was it this? Was it that? What was going on? What am I supposed to do? What is she expecting? And then you have different strategies to get out of it, I've learned. One of the strategies is to kind of cloud the issue and just kind of laugh it off and go, which project? So many. We're working on so many right now. What are you talking about? And really, I have no idea what she's referring to. But usually that happens because our lives are filled with so much. We have a lot going on, right? You have projects, things you're working on, but day by day you're confronted with new things and new emergencies and time-sensitive issues and new phone calls and new tragedies and catastrophes. Maybe you guys don't hear about those as much, but there's things going on, and people are asking you questions, and so you're pulled in all kinds of different directions. You're distracted by a lot, and you forget about some of the big projects or the big project that you are to be working on that week. So let me see if it works for you. What if I were just to ask you this morning, hey church, how is the project going? How is your project going? You have a lifelong project. How's it going this week? So right now you're kind of rifling through what your project is, and you kind of think, okay, we're in church. It's Sunday morning. He's a pastor. Okay, I've got this. Jesus is my project. Well, that's not too far off. I think it's important that we remember at the core of who we are and what we're doing in our lives that our lifelong project, every one of us, is learning Christ. That's what it is. Your lifelong project as a believer is learning Christ and then helping others learn Christ. That's it. That's your lifelong project. And much like my week, that sometimes in the middle of the week I get so distracted by things I forget that project I'm supposed to be working on. We get confronted by so much, and there's so many other things that are happening in our lives, whether it's we're building towards retirement, we're trying to start a new business, we're just trying to make a few extra dollars to pay off some bills, we're trying to decide what college to go to, we're trying to decide when to retire. We have a lot of other things going on that can distract us from our project. How is the project going? And your project is to learn Christ and then help others learn Christ. That's your project. And to help us kind of get into this, and remember this is what's happening, I want to jump off of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Again, John here is receiving this vision of the kingdom, this vision of what's happening behind the curtain, spiritual warfare, this vision of Christ on his throne, that Christ wins. And he kind of gets a glimpse of what it will be like, what's happening. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, he gets this vision and he gets to see this great multitude from every nation. And look at what it says. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What a wonderful picture of victory and celebration. And really what we could say is, number one, God's goal for all things, which is a group of redeemed people from every tribe, nation, and tongue gathered together around Jesus Christ. That's where everything is going. That's our goal. That's where history is moving. This is God's plan. Even from creation, even before Adam and Eve had chosen to eat of the fruit, so the fall is on the horizon still, hasn't even happened in creation, God had this plan to leverage all things to display His glory preeminently through Christ. And then even after the fall, and then through the call of Abraham and the establishment of Israel and the rise and fall and the shuffling of nations we read about in the Old Testament up until the sending of His Son, all the way up even through the unrest and uncertainty of our current society, God has been moving all things toward this goal. This goal of renewed creation, of people living in harmony and fellowship with God, where things are right, they're the way they're supposed to be. There's no more tears. There's no more sickness. There's no more shame or fear or guilt. All that's gone. This is paradise with Christ as its center. And this is our destination if we are in Christ. And this should form our identity, our mission, our purpose, our vision, our goals. This defines our lifelong project. It's a plan being carried out all around us. And the situations and tragedies, your encounters, your conflicts, your exchanges, your transactions with others. Just think of all of your experiences of every kind of flavor, from life-altering catastrophes all the way down to those like barely noticeable daily aggravations, you know? All of those, God is at work through all of those things, moving us toward His goal. And while all things will give God glory, His glory is seen preeminently in the redemption that is accomplished through the cross work of Christ. And that redemption breaks into creation through the great exchange, this great exchange that happens where people who are living in a kingdom of darkness and rebellion and brokenness and isolation and hurt are rescued and transformed, moving into a kingdom of light. Oh, there we go, the kingdom of the Son. That's a high definition picture. You see, this is a way of visualizing what God is doing with all history. He is seeking to bring glory to Himself preeminently through what He has done in Jesus Christ, the gospel. And the way that is made real or concrete in the lives of this world and society and people groups and community is when people are transferred out of this domain of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, and we're headed towards this goal of this redeemed people gathered around the risen Christ. And so in Revelation, that's that picture. People from every nation, from every tribe and language, they're there, they're gathered. Having been redeemed from their former life of rebellion and brokenness into this new life of wholeness and holiness. This is God's project. This is His big project. This is what He is doing. And this should shape our lifelong project. And again, remember, we get caught up in all kinds of things, like in that Tuesday afternoon when Michelle says, "How's the project going?" And I'm like, we too get so distracted by everything in our life that we forget there's something much bigger going on in our lives. And we have a project, and that project can be described as, again, learning Christ, because this is God's method of moving all history towards this goal, is he makes former rebels into lifelong learners. We also call them disciples, right? So let's think about that. How does God do this work? What does it look like? Well, there's so many places we could look in Scripture, but I want to look at just one in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Here, Paul is giving God glory for this work of salvation. And in this really long portion of Scripture that starts in verse 3 and goes to verse 14, it's one long sentence in the Greek. It's one long praise where Paul praises God the Father, and he praises the Lord Jesus, and he praises the Holy Spirit for this work of salvation. But notice verse 11 and through 14. "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Now, yes, in this passage we see predestination, but that's not what I want us to focus on in this passage. What I want us to see here is that, yes, the Lord is carrying out his purpose. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will. But notice what that looks like. What does that look like daily or practically in our lives? We hear the word of truth, and then we exercise belief or faith. We hear the word of truth, and we believe in him. That's how God does this. This is how God rescues people out of darkness and brings them into light. As people living in the dark hear the gospel, the good news of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ, the Spirit brings conviction, and they believe. They trust in the gospel. They trust in Christ. They repent. They confess Christ as Lord. That's what believing means. And immediately they have a new identity, a new family. They have a new purpose. They have a new goal. We become disciples, or, see the L? We become learners. We're learners. And then we spend the rest of our lives learning Christ through repentance and faith, seeking to grow in him and Christ's likeness, and seeking to help others learn Christ as well. See, becoming a Christian is a giant step of faith that brings transformation, and it leads to this lifelong project of learning Christ, hearing the word, believing, obeying, growing. So let's think about our role here. As God's people, already in the kingdom of the Son, we are learners, right? And we want to help other people learn Christ as well. Well, how do we do that? How do we help other people learn Christ? Well, the same way that we learn Christ, just maybe looks a little different. As ambassadors seeking to help those around us, just simply, we can describe it this way. We just want to help people simply take one step to the right, according to the diagram. I'm not talking politically. According to the diagram, right? So let's look at the next slide. All right, see, there's multiple learners in the kingdom of the Son. And we want to help the people in darkness take one step, just move closer to Christ. We want to help them know Christ, so that they can then be rescued and transformed into the kingdom of the Son. And so we want to help those around us take one step to the right. And there's four P's that can help us. You know, preachers like alliteration, and we can line things up. Listen, I just do it naturally now. Like in my sleep, if I'm thinking about a grocery list, I'll try to alliterate it or put it in some kind of acronym. Stupid. Number one, the first P. Proclaiming the word in multiple ways. Proclaiming the word in multiple ways. Remember, we saw this in Ephesians chapter 1. They heard the word. They heard the word. In Romans, Paul reminds us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. It's hearing the word. Two, by prayerful dependence on the Spirit. This is God's work, building the church and helping people take a sincere, legitimate step to the right to know Christ. It is God's work in their heart. And so even as we're sowing seeds and we're trying to share the word in multiple ways, we must prayerfully be dependent on the Spirit. And three, people are God's fellow workers. That includes you and I. We're God's fellow workers in this. We bear this responsibility. But we're fellow workers together in doing this. And then four, perseverance. Just step by step. You just keep at it. You keep at it. So I want to think about these each a little more. Proclaiming the word of God in multiple ways, using the many avenues and opportunities that we have to speak truth into others' lives. Think about the different ways that you could share God's word with someone. It can be in a prayer that you share with them. It can be through a card, a written card, a note card that you just write a verse down to them. You can invite them to join you in Bible reading. Say, hey, would you be interested in reading a book of the Bible with me, the Gospel of John? Let's read it together. You can ask questions and we can talk about Christianity and Jesus. Bringing them with you to church and they hear the word proclaimed and the word taught in different groups, even small group as we read Scripture and we apply it, talk through it. Proclaiming the word in multiple ways. Now, I hope this wasn't a surprise to you. When it comes to learning Christ, especially if you've known me for any length of time, it shouldn't have been a surprise that when we think about how do we grow in Christ and learn Him, that I mentioned the word. It's the word. This is so important and significant. Even as we're learning in church history, our study, we see that Christians don't always make the best witnesses. I don't know if you've ever seen this. We're not always the greatest representatives for Jesus. And then we even have historic events that people point to, say the Crusades. In the name of Jesus, we're going to kill you and your whole family and take your land. We can think of even the colonization of this great nation where Indians were made to run through the river or be shot, and they were considered baptized by running through the river. You can shoot them, but at least, you know, introduce them to Jesus first. Even Christians, churches in the South that argued for slavery a couple hundred years ago. No, Christians haven't always been the greatest witness. We're not the greatest source to look at to understand who Jesus is. To learn Christ, your primary source should not be looking at another believer. Now, that helps. That's not your primary source. The primary source is the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. This is what brings correction. This is what rights the ship. And it is done so repeatedly. Yes, many Christians stood on the wrong side of slavery, but if you look historically, it is the Christian faith, the teachings from the Word that has led to, I say ending loosely because slavery is very much alive, but ending slavery in Europe once and then it sprang up again and It helped bring an end to it here in our own country. But it's the Word of God that corrects us, that helps us meet face to face with the Son of God. So we proclaim the Word of God in multiple ways. Maybe we share a blog or a series of sermons that we like, a pastor that we listen to. We can share that with others. Hey, I heard this. It really encouraged me today, and you can send it to someone. Secondly, prayerful dependence on the Spirit. Again, Paul in his letters was often asking, not only was he praying for people, but he was asking for them to pray for him. He was dependent on the prayers of the saints for the success of his missions. He said, he would say, pray for me that a door is open that I might be able to share the gospel. If Paul was dependent on that and you want to share with Lucy, your coworker, you don't think you're any less dependent on the Spirit to be able to speak into Lucy's life? We must pray that God would give us an opportunity and give us words. Prayer is one of our pillars here at New Beginnings. We believe in the power of prayer. And if prayer is this powerful, powerful resource, we could then ask, how's the project going? Project? Oh yeah, I'm to be learning Christ and I'm to be helping others learn Christ. That's right, yeah. So how's the project going? Remember that powerful tool you have, prayer. How are you using prayer towards that goal this week? Well, I mean, I prayed for people's, joints that are twisted and sprained, and I've prayed for some job things and some income. How have you prayed that you would learn Christ and be able to help others learn Christ? How are you leveraging that relationship that you have with God towards your lifelong project? Proclaiming the Word in multiple ways, prayerful dependence on the Spirit. And then remember, people are God's fellow workers. Look, I am a fan of evangelism and evangelism training. A friend of mine in Florida just sent me, he's put together his own kind of evangelism training program, and he sent it to me and asked me to review it and to be honest, and so I was. And gave him some suggestions. But I told him, look, it's like self-defense. I mean, you don't just learn one thing. I mean, you learn different things, right? Because situations come at you from different ways, and you need to know different things. And it's the same with evangelism. You talk to somebody about Jesus, they might be in one place, they might be in a different place. Maybe they've never heard of Jesus. Maybe they've been in church half their life. But you've got to be able to interact with them in different ways. So I love evangelism equipping and training. However, sometimes that gives us the impression that we're all out there by ourselves. Right, as lone rangers, you're out there by yourself to evangelize the world. Kind of like the Smokey the Bear commercial, right? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can bring the gospel to the nations. What? How are you supposed to do that? Well, people are God's fellow workers. We're not like fishermen standing on a pier. You know, you go to the pier and you see these fishermen and each one has their own line, right? And they're all fishing for themselves and doing their own thing. It's not like that. Now, there is some of that in the Christian life. You are doing that. But remember, this is a team sport, which means we can leverage our small groups and our picnics and our gatherings, and we can use others in our witnessing. Lucy at work that you're trying to witness to her, and invite her to come over for dinner with another couple from church just to have an evening. And you don't have to do this bait and switch thing where she sits down and underneath her chair she finds a gospel track. Oh, how'd that get there? But you just simply demonstrate a life of love and the love of Christ that you have for your fellow believers at church and make it evident to them. We do evangelism together. It's a force multiplier for missions. Is doing it together. And then four, perseverance, step by step. Look, it is very rare that you have a one-on-one encounter with someone where you share the gospel with them and the Lord moves in their hearts and they confess Christ right there. That's very rare. It happens. It's happened to me twice. So it does happen, but it's very rare. They've done studies that said, on average, somebody is exposed to the gospel, hears the gospel 7 times before they're saved. And of course, I'm like, how do they know that? How did you, what was your methodology in that to figure that out? I don't know. It was probably somebody thought 7, perfect number of perfection. We'll just use that. But I do think it reflects the truth that people hear the gospel several times, step by step. Think of the farmer, an often used illustration in the New Testament for gospel work. There's a lot of work that goes into having a harvest, and it doesn't happen immediately, day by day, step by step. He goes through the process of plowing and fertilizing and preparing and sowing and watering, day by day by day, simply doing what he knows to do to hopefully, prayerfully have a harvest. He's not in control of that. And that's what we do. We prayerfully present the word of God, trusting in the Lord of the harvest. You just keep doing it. Keep doing it, step by step, persevering. And while I've been talking about this, mainly thinking of helping people outside of the kingdom of the Son, people living in darkness, helping them learn Christ, hey, it's the same 4 P's for you. Christian, I'm talking to you. It's the same 4 P's. How do you learn Christ? The same way. By hearing the word proclaimed in multiple ways, by prayerful dependence on the Spirit. Again, being involved with God's people as God uses others to help you grow and learn Christ. And listen, do you know one of the main ways God uses others to help you learn Christ? I know you're thinking, well, they can share verses with me or bring me a basket of muffins and tell me Jesus loves me. I mean, God does that, but the main way God uses other people to help you learn Christ is through aggravating you. Yep. And so be mindful of that. When someone's really aggravating you, and you're like, yeah, right now, how long is this going to be? When someone's really aggravating you, realize God's at work. God's trying to show you something. He's trying to bring something out in your heart that's messed up. And perseverance, step by step, we continue. It's a lifelong project. And so before we move on to this last point, we can ask, what about you? Are you a disciple? Have you heard the gospel and believed? Well, then, if so, you are a learner, and your lifelong project is to learn Christ. So I would ask you, how's your project? How's it going this week? How are you learning Christ? Are you hearing the word in multiple ways, one of the primary ones being just reading it? Are you prayerfully dependent on the Spirit? Are you praying for God to help you learn Christ? Are you involved in people's lives? Or better yet, have you opened your life to others, inviting them in? And are you persevering day by day, step by step, learning Christ, learning Christ? That's your project. Because God works to build His church through His faithful people. So finally, let's be reminded of this mission. This is our mission. I think we have one more, right? Yeah, there we go. You see, as you're learning Christ, you realize the people around you are in different places with their relationship to Jesus. One of the questions I like to ask sometimes when I'm seeking to witness to someone is I'll just simply ask them, hey, how would you describe your relationship with Jesus? It's not threatening. And I've gotten, don't have one. And then the reason being whatever comes next. But in the spectrum, we see people in different places. And so we want to approach them correctly. We want to meet them where they are to help them take one step to the right. That's what we're doing. That's your project. In fact, this should be your prayer. Every day, Lord, help me. Help me to engage. Help me to be intentional. Help me to influence others just to help them take one step to the right. But then that also depends on where they are. Some people are far from Christ. You know, there's people here living in New Jersey that really have never heard the name of Jesus. I mean, they've maybe heard it on the news, but they've paid such little attention to it. They just have no idea of who Jesus is. They're far from him. They've never met, as far as they know, they've never met a Christian. And what they need is for someone to engage them. So you see the word engage in the far left. They need somebody just to engage them. They need to meet a Christian and be introduced in some very general way to the love of Christ. This is especially where we talk about showing and sharing the love of Christ here. This is where you could really show the love of Christ through doing something good for them, serving them somehow. And again, I want to encourage you, don't just serve them somehow and leave it at that. Maybe you want to write a little note because you want to tie it to what God has done for them in Jesus. I just want to let you know God loves you. Hey, been praying for you. Or when they come into work and their life is falling apart, and you just ask them, hey, would it be all right if I pray for you? Just some kind of engagement to help move them a little bit, to put Christ on their radar. And then others who have been engaged with believers before, and they've maybe even attended church a few times. They kind of know who Jesus is. They might have seen some of those felt Bible stories carried out on some board in vacation Bible school somewhere. Jesus is not foreign to them. They really need to hear the whole gospel. They need to be evangelized. This is sharing, right? So we've shown the love of Christ. This is sharing the love of Christ, where you tell them that God loves them so much that he gave his only son. And giving of his son meant that he sent his son to die on a cross to suffer for the sins, our sins, so that whoever believes in him, believing, trusting that he died for them and rose again and confesses him, will not perish but will have everlasting life. They need to hear it. They need to be evangelized. And again, remember, you're not on your own here. Does it mean, it can mean you just schedule it and say, hey, Lucy, let's have lunch next Tuesday. There's something I want to talk to you about. Look, that might feel a little awkward, but notice that that already like sets the agenda that you're going to be talking about something. So it kind of takes the weight off a little bit. All right, she knows we're meeting and talking about stuff, so I can talk about whatever I want, and I'm talking about Jesus. So we engage those far away, we evangelize those who are near, but then those that have responded to the gospel in faith and trust in Christ, they need to be established as a Christian, to learn the basics of the truth, to drive it deep down, and to grow in godliness and Christ-likeness. And then as they grow, they'll be more concerned for their own growth and they'll be more concerned for those around them. And they need to be equipped, where we help train them and help give them tools and opportunities to engage and evangelize those around them. See, we had four P's, now we had four E's. I got all this out of a book too, by the way, so I'm not a genius. So equipping, where does equipping happen? Let's go backwards. Where do we equip people? We equip them on Sunday morning some. You know, we've done the three circles of evangelism on a Sunday morning, and we've done some other things to help equip you to engage those around you and evangelize? Through small groups, through personal study, through your own personal study. Hey, by the way, learner, I'm not the only one who bears a responsibility for you to learn. You are. And so you could read books too. Establishing. Where does establishing happen? Again, the same place. Through Sunday morning sermons, through small groups, through classes like Ben is leading us in. Establishing us in the truth. What about evangelizing? Oh, this happens when we share the good news. On Sunday mornings happens here too. But more importantly, it happens over coffee in your break room at work. Happens in your kitchen with maybe some tea and biscuits. Happens on the job. It happens across a fence with your neighbor where you proclaim the gospel in word. And then engaging. This happens all over, just showing the love of Christ. Asking someone if you could pray for them. Encouraging someone with a bit of the truth. Buying someone's groceries. Paying for somebody behind you in line at the drive-thru. Here's a way to think about it. If you were an artist, what would your medium be? You guys remember that word, medium, back when you were like in the sixth grade and had to take art? Was it sixth? Seventh grade? I don't think they do that anymore. Do you guys have to take art? No? Yeah, we had to take art. We had to take art. I also had to take home economics. I can make Rice Krispie treats still to this day. But remember, medium refers to, the kind of art you do, right? Is it a sculpture? And if it's a sculpture, even still, what is your medium? Is it marble? Are you chiseling? Or is it like clay? Is it wood? So medium also refers to the material that you use to create your art. So what about you? If you're an artist, what do you think your material would be? I first thought it would be food, because I like food. I think mine would be steel. And I might make some of those sculptures where they like just weld various pieces together. They just look around and grab something, weld it on. But I really like forging, where they take steel and they heat it and they hammer it and shape it. That also sounds a little more manly than like paper mache or watercolors. But imagine if we went around and thought about it and pressed you, we would have all kinds of different mediums, right? We'd have the same project, make art. That's the project, make art, but use your medium to do it. And they'd vary greatly. Some of us might have the same. Paintball, would that be a medium? Paintball, create art by shooting things with paintball. Well, think of your work of learning Christ and helping others to learn Christ. Learning Christ and helping others move one step to the right as that project, that mission, and then how you do that in your life oftentimes is dependent on what your medium is. What is your talent? What has God gifted you with to help you do this? Some of you, it might be cooking and hospitality. You just love to have people over and fixing up the living room and getting everything nice and ready, and you love baking for them and just inviting people into your home. That's your medium God's given you to help people take one step to the right, and so you invite your neighbors and coworkers over. Some of you, it might be service. You just love doing things for people. You're like, I don't really want to even have to talk to them. But if I can help build a ramp on the side of their house for their wheelchair, I'll be there early and I'll work all day. That's your medium. You show up. And because people are co-workers with God, you show up with people from the church, you don't have to be the one to talk because Lynn's going to be there. And we'll let Lynn talk. And tell them we're doing this because God so loved us that he gave his only son. And we just want to love them and we want to give them a ramp for their house. The Lord has put you in a place, maybe it's just for a season, whether it's a school or a job or even being jobless or even being in a place where you feel helpless, you're not doing much except seeing doctors all the time, which again just seems to be more frequent in my life. And so I try to think, how can I engage this nurse or this doctor? I'm going to see him for 20, 15 minutes maybe, and most of it's going to be about, you know, whatever's ailing me, but how can I engage him a little bit? I just want to move him to the right. How can I just bump him a little bit to the right? What can I do? Give him a card? Invite them to church? We still have cards out there on the table. Grab a bunch on your way out and just give them to people. Hey, come to church. But it doesn't happen if you're distracted. You have to remember your lifelong project of learning Christ and helping others learn Christ. And so I've tried to distribute them in various strategic places, but there is a Who Is My Neighbor handout. Does everybody have one of those? Hold that up if you have that. Everybody have a Who Is My Neighbor? Do you have a Who Is My Neighbor? All right, Who Is My Neighbor? This is basically an adaption of the missionary map we did, I think, like my second or third sermon here. Same idea. You have to be intentional. And so here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is, remember, you're to learn Christ. You're to help those around you learn Christ. You're to help them take one step to the right. So this is your map to help you know who your neighbor is, that you're going to pray, Lord, help me engage them so that they can take one step to the right. And this is so you can know about them. And so map out your neighborhood. Who lives around you? Who lives next door? Write their names down. Next door is Jeffrey and his wife, Susan. Write that next to your house on your map. Jeffrey, Susan, their kid is Olivia. And you're going to begin praying for Jeffrey and Susan and Olivia. You're praying, God, help me move them one step to the right. Help me invite them over for dinner. That's what we like to do. We like to grill out. We like to burn things in the backyard. Invite them over to burn things in the backyard. Maybe don't say it that way. Now, for some of us, like me, next door to me is a church, and next door to that's a bunch of animals, and next door to that's Gold's Gym and ShopRite. I don't know how I'm going to do that. But you can think about this. Okay, I'm not going to map out my neighborhood. I'm going to map out my workplace. And so you could use this for your workplace. Think, okay, I'm in the middle. Who are the people I work with the most? Well, I work with Larry a lot, and so you put Larry. Who's Larry married to? Cindy. Right, Larry and Cindy. Do they have kids? I don't know. Find out. And write their names down. And then pray for them. And seek to engage them. Show and share the love of Christ. And help bump them one step to the right. That's your lifelong project. That's all of our lifelong projects. Does that make sense? I think this is something we can do, church. Let's not be distracted by everything happening in our nation and the videos and the riots, and we need to pray for those, and we need to be present. But don't let those things distract you from your lifelong project. Because God is at work in all of those things, moving everything towards His goal in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have been at work. We thank You that we're gathered here standing on the shoulders of giants, people who've gone on before us, and they were learning Christ and they helped others. They helped us learn Christ. So Lord, we pray that You would help us to be faithful in our project of knowing You, knowing Your love for us, that we might love like You and obey You and live in holiness like You. And Lord, help us to engage those around us, to evangelize them, to help them move to the right, to help them learn Christ. We want to be good and faithful servants. And we know You have us here for a reason. Every day You're at work. And so every day, Lord, help us to join in with you in our great lifelong project. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.